Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. I've got another fantastic show for you. I just want to share that the audio production of Cashflow Ninja is provided by On Air Brands. You can learn more about them at onairbrands.com. And then everything Cashflow Ninja, there's now over 800 podcast episodes between Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, along with community resources, tools, and programs that's available at cashflowninja.com. And then I also just wanted to share, I've been getting some incredible feedback on my book, which I've launched, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches, Creating Wealth and the Best Alternative Cashflow Investments. Again, when you purchase a copy of the book at cashflowninja.com/21niches, you always also get a digital version, an audio version, a curated library of interviews where we talk about the cash flow niches and some more bonus interviews. That's at cashflowninja.com/21. That's the numbers, 21 niches. So grab a copy of the book. I've got an incredible guest for you, Scott Reed. He is America's legal coach. And there's a lot of us starting businesses and growing and scaling businesses in this new environment where there is a plethora of issues, problems, challenges, pain points, also desires and wants. So a lot of opportunities for entrepreneurs. Yeah. Scott's jumping on to share more about how entrepreneurs and business owners and also investors can protect themselves in this new environment. Scott, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
MC, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
For folks not familiar with you and your background, can you please share a little bit about yourself and your journey with them?
You bet. I'm a practicing lawyer, been doing this for 25 years. I've had my own firm, Reeb Law, here in Texas for 16 years. I'm the official Zig Ziglar small business attorney. I've had the pleasure of working them for about 6 years and help entrepreneurs online and offline, and focus a lot with speakers, trainers, and coaches on doing what I call shatterproofing their business by building legal systems and structures and giving them the right information at the right time so they can make great decisions and move their businesses forward. And that's what I do every day.
Awesome. You talk about protecting their business and structuring strategies to shatterproof their business. What are some of the strategies? I believe that you have five core ones that you share. What are some of those strategies to shatterproof your business right now?
You bet. The first one is that you need to establish a kind of a board of key advisors, a team of key advisors. One of them, you and I talked pre-show, is you have to have a business coach. If you want to really grow a business and scale it, you need a coach, a guide to help you with the path to get there, hold you accountable. And it makes all the difference. I couldn't be where I am today without my coaches. And then second, you need a CPA to help you keep track of the numbers. We keep score in business by the numbers. So you need someone that knows those rules and can help you manage your cash flow, manage your tax burden, and make more money, right? They can help you do that. You also need a banker. And a lot of people think I mean a bank. And I don't. You need a banker. You need a person that you have a relationship with that you can go to when you need money, or when you're having money problems, or if you have an opportunity that they might could help you fund. You need to have a personal relationship, and that takes time. You have to go develop it. It doesn't just happen by opening an account at a bank, right? And then you have to have an insurance person, a broker, that can help you cover all this risk. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you're opening yourself up to risks that other people don't. And so you have this whole basket of risk that no one else has. You need someone that knows your business, knows what you're trying to do, and says, here's the coverages that you could have. Here's the way to prioritize them. Here's how much they cost. And then start getting the coverage you need, right? And then last but not least, you need a business lawyer that you have on demand. You need to have them on speed dial, because having the right information at the right time is often the difference between success and failure. And so if you don't have access now to that kind of information from any of these advisors, by delaying it by a day, a week could be all the difference. So you want to make sure that you've got these relationships set up now, you know how you're going to pay for them, and you have the ability to hit your cell phone and call them or text them and get answers to the questions you have while you're building these businesses, because in today's world, things move fast.
They do. And looking at just the new environment out there, business owners right now, they're navigating an interesting environment. What are some of the risks and the challenges that you see out there that business owners should be aware of? You know, before you answer that, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I mean, there was a video that just recently went viral about this one person that was driving into another person because it was a fancy car, you know, so they're thinking high income earner or business owner. I mean, and saying, oh, you drove into me, and it was someone had a video of it already. So you could just start to see it, you know, when you're going into a world where there is a lot of folks kind of struggling, and then there's a lot of folks taking off. I mean, this whole past 20 months, it's been like the tale of two different worlds, right? So you have these two worlds, the Hunger Games Society, as I basically call it. What are some of the risks that you see out there for business owners?
Yeah, so auto injuries is a big risk, because a lot of us are online, and I get that, but there's still a lot of listeners that are opening brick and mortar businesses. They have vehicles, trucks, vans going around providing service or delivering products, and that creates huge liability. And a mistake I see a lot of small business owners make is that they're getting insurance, but they're getting the least amount of insurance they can get because it's cheaper. Well, you're stepping over dollar bills to pick up nickels. You need to get a really sound policy from a really good insurance company, and you need to have the highest limits you can possibly afford so that it actually gives you the coverage that you need. Because look, things are going to happen in business. There's going to be negligence, and then people are going to try to trap you, like you just talked about, MC. And so you need to make sure that you have an insurance company that will step in and not just defend you, but have enough funds to actually settle the case. You want it to go away. And if there's not enough funds there, then you're going to have to dig into your pockets, to your retirement, to your reserves, and pull that out. And I've had clients had to do that, that were in franchise businesses where they had a driver have a head-on collision, everyone died, and huge lawsuit lasted for 3 or 4 years, and there wasn't enough coverage. So they end up having to drain their retirement accounts just to get rid of the lawsuit and to make it right. I mean, their driver fell asleep, and you want to be able to have that coverage. So that's a huge mistake. The other huge mistake that I really can't believe we're still seeing business owners make is that they're still running as sole proprietors. And you just cannot do that in this world. There's like 20 million lawsuits filed every year in the US, but that's like, that's like three a day or something. It's crazy. And so you need to set up a corporation or an LLC. You need to have at least one of those two. And you probably, depending on your business, need more than one entity. And so, again, you need to get with your legal coach and your CPA and figure out what structure makes the best sense for you. But the one that doesn't make sense is sole proprietor or general partner. And here's why. If you're operating that way, then you are your business. Not only are you your brand, you are your business. And everything your business does wrong comes right home to you, to your house. They can take your stuff that you've worked so hard for. If you create this wall called an LLC or a corporation, there's a liability wall there, and they can only take what's in the business. They can't come to the owner, you, and take your stuff. And so if you're going to build your dream business, then build it in a vehicle that will protect your stuff. And so that's a huge mistake. I see it every day.
How hard is it for folks that didn't get it set up properly or want to reincorporate? Because that's a question that I get from a lot of folks in our network too. Because we're in a world now where a lot of people are moving to. So a lot of people are moving states. Maybe that they didn't have the proper legal structure and set up initially. How challenging is it to get out of that? Or maybe you can share some more insight on that.
You know, it's always less expensive to set things up right in the first place. But if you are moving your business, then there's a way to take your, for instance, if you're moving from California to Texas, which we see happening a lot, then you can convert your California entity to a Texas entity, if that makes sense for you. Sometimes we're just setting up new Texas entities and leaving the old one behind. Yeah, again, you have to get with your team of advisors, see which one makes sense. But it's not hard to set up an LLC or a corporation, but it has to be done right. And so while, yes, you can go online and you can find ways to do it very cheaply again, my advice is to find someone that really knows how to set one up. And that would be a lawyer, not an accountant and not your business coach even. You need to have someone that actually knows how to do it, can document it properly, give you an operating agreement, do your minutes for you, get your EIN, help you get your bank account open. And then you know you've got that wall of protection. It's not, like I said, it's not hard. It can be done relatively quickly, usually in less than a week, and then you're up and running. The cost is anywhere between $700 and, let's say, $1,200, depending on the level of attorney or law firm you're using to do that. But you need to get it done, and we help entrepreneurs do that every day, and we'd love to help the listeners.
Can you speak to the importance too, and this is a value add of where a great business lawyer can be an essential part of your team, with regards to name searches, trademarks, trademark protections, legal docs that's required for your websites. It's all, I mean, every industry is different almost. And yeah, there's some templates. Again, now we're, the template-y stuff is not necessarily the viable way to go. You want to have it done properly, even if you're an online business. But maybe you could share more on this, because I think a lot of people forget about this. And I'm thinking when I first started my my first business now decades ago, it's like, you know, that's not necessarily things that you think about, but a good business lawyer will think about that. You know, what are some of your insights on that?
Yeah, you've got to own your brand. And the problem is sometimes we're not as creative as we think we are. We've got this really clever name for whatever we're going to do, and someone else already had it, has been using it for years, and you're suddenly infringing on their trademark. And so the way to avoid that is to do a trademark search when you're starting your company. When you're starting this venture, let's find out now, can we build it on this? Because otherwise, you get down the road and you've built your business on someone else's brand. Not only are you possibly going to have liability issues with them, but you also have to rebrand a business that was thriving. And that's very costly, not just in cash going out, and then also just in the loss of traction and trying to re-explain why you've had to rebrand. So hire a lawyer that is familiar with intellectual property, can do those search, has a trademark agent that can make sure that what you're doing is trademarkable. We've been working with a marketing agency here in Texas that had a really cool name they wanted to use. They came on in our access plan and we're like, hey, we want to use this name. Let's get it set up. Let's incorporate. And I'm like, wait, have you done a trademark search to see if you can get that? Because I love the name, but let's make sure. And we searched and someone had almost the exact same name and had it for years. We tried to get the ability to license it from them. They weren't interested. So they have to start over. But it's much easier to start over at the beginning than 10 years in. So yeah, get someone that knows what they're doing on the trademark side and make sure you own your brand. It's almost as important as getting that corporation set up. And so you should really do them together.
Yeah, listeners that have been listening to my show for 5 to 6 years will know that happened with one of my companies. And it wasn't even the exact trademark. It was just close enough to cause some issues with the company that had it. So we had to rebrand, set up another trademark properly, all that kind of stuff. And like you just mentioned, it's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and then sharing again with the marketplace, you know, your new brand or your new company. It was a hard lesson. So that's why I asked that. I wanted our listeners to hear this, because it's one of the lessons that I've learned. And another thing, maybe you could speak to that too. If you're building a business, sometimes people get excited. They start a business. They're entrepreneurial, you know, that rugged individualist building that business without thinking really about the next couple of moves for the business and eventually the exit, which might be selling it. You try to sell a business without trademarks and all of those things set up, you're going to have a tough time, right?
Yeah, I was speaking at an event last month, and one of the business owners came up afterwards, and it was, we were talking about this very concept, own your brand. And he was in the middle of negotiating a sale, seven figures for his business, high seven figures. And he's like, I'm not sure I have the trademarks.
Whew.
And he hadn't thought about it. And it was, again, a 10-year-old business. And hopefully he's able to resolve that problem. But if not, it's going to greatly affect the final value of that business before they close. And it's just, it's, again, a lot of the stuff I do, it's not hard, but it takes some training to do it. And you need to do it right. And so it's just, it's like, you know, Michael Gerber always, you know, said that you have this entrepreneurial seizure and we start these businesses. And I totally agree. At some point, you have to come out of that and go, look, I've got to do things right. And the sooner you can do that, the more solid your foundation will be. And then the higher you go with your business, and it will support the weight. But if you don't do these things up front, you could have some great success and you'll get crushed by it because you don't have the foundation in place.
Yeah. And it's the other part of it too, is the IP, the intellectual property, and also brand protection now is online in this day. So it's domain names, misspellings of the domain names, different variations. I mean, all those different things that you need to think about.
Even colors matter. Colors matter. Shapes matter. Yep. If your logos, if yours is too close to another brand that's that is concerned that you're creating confusion in the marketplace as to their sponsorship of their goods, they'll come after you. And even if you have a good defense, sometimes you can't afford to defend yourself against, say, a Starbucks or an In-N-Out burger, because you subconsciously like their colors and shapes and use them in another business that's unrelated. So you have to look at all that stuff. It's a total package.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share something about your philosophy? You've mentioned before that you should treat lawyers like primary care providers instead of ER doctors, which I find quite fascinating.
Yeah, because what I found in the first 15 years or so of practicing was everyone was coming to me with emergencies. You know, they were getting sued. They needed to sue somebody. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And usually it was something that had they paid me or some other lawyer up front to review the contract, put the company together, make the deal, they would have avoided the litigation altogether. So we'd solve the problem, charge them a whole bunch of money. And at the end, they were really kind of unhappy. You know, they had a bad taste in their mouth because, yeah, we solved the problem, but it cost too much. And then they go away. They run into another issue. They flip a coin, dial a friend, do anything but call me. And then they'd be back again with the problem. And so what I decided the problem was me, the way I was charging them. We were charging by the hour. And so every time they called me, they would see money coming out of their pockets. And so subconsciously, they didn't like me and they didn't want to call me. They felt bad about that. So they would do anything to avoid it. So we created a model where we could be primary care, where they pay us a set monthly fee for the bundle of services that always means they can call and ask questions about anything they want to and not get charged. And so then it shifted them from, oh, you're no longer where we go with a broken arm. You're where we go when we want to make a decision and make sure it's a good decision about the health of our business. And suddenly now I'm their best friend, and we're having these conversations on a regular basis where they're transparent. I can help them make better decisions on things that they're not even asking me about just because they're telling me what they're doing. And it completely changed the way my clients do business, because now they have the right information at the right time without having to pay extra for it. And I now have clients that like me. And so that is a lot more fun.
Yeah. And I mean, it's constantly changing. I'm just looking at what's happening in the tax world. I mean, we've got so many changes. It's hard to keep track of. I'm sure it's gonna hit the legal world at some stage. What are some of the things that you're navigating there?
You know, now it's all the online stuff with all having to keep up with the terms, privacy policies, making sure that everyone is giving the right warnings and that we're taking care of the data that we have. And it's very hard to keep up with all of that. There's some good ways to do it with technology that we can use. And then the other thing is we're constantly throwing up new websites, right? If you're an active entrepreneur online, you've got, I don't know, at least a dozen landing pages that you're using to drive traffic to certain specific offers. Do you have the right language on there? Is it all FCC compliant? I mean, there's a lot to deal with if you're online, and that's not really even really an online entrepreneur. That's a brick and mortar company just trying to bring people off online, offline. And so there's a lot of moving pieces that you have to really pay attention to as you're being entrepreneurial. And so having that primary care lawyer that is a part of your business on your team can really make a difference, because you're not having to go make an appointment, or find a lawyer, make an appointment, pay a retainer, ask a few questions, go away and go, oh, I should have asked that and I forgot to. No, you just send a text and say, hey, I forgot to ask this. And you jump back on the call and get the answer. And so you can set up those relationships and do that right. And it makes all the difference when you're trying to stay lean, because you need to stay lean, but you need to make good decisions so that you can scale your business and move forward.
Yeah, that's the big part. And you're going to have these team members in place as your business is growing, because everything's going to change. Your needs are going to change, your structures and so forth, as your business is growing and taking off.
Yeah, and if you have the team set up right, they're working behind the scenes. Like, you know, I'm talking to your CPA because the CPA had a question about legal documentation or structure. We talk it out, hash it out, make a decision, and then we bring it to you and go, here's together what we think you should do, while you were still making your widgets, doing your business, or playing with your family. That's what you need as an entrepreneur. And it's not that hard to put together. It takes a little time. But once you put a good team together, it makes a real difference.
You talk about the art of documenting the deal. I love that concept. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. And a lot of entrepreneurs are scared of written contracts. One, because they don't have a lawyer. And two, because people don't always want to sign them. Or it stalls a deal because we're having to pass paper back and forth. And so I came up with the system of what I call the art of documenting the deal, where you can use an email to create a contract between you and a customer, or it could be a business partner. And the way that works basically is there's a set of questions that you would ask on a phone call that kind of flesh out the deal points. You get those to say the 10 deal points that are critical to the deal. You send those points to the other person by email and say, here's the deal points that we just discussed. If you're in agreement with these deal points, reply yes. They reply yes. And now you have a written agreement, because that yes reply is a digital signature. You have a contract. And if you have a lawyer, awesome. Take that to the lawyer. They can then create a written version of it that you can sign, but you don't have to. That's an enforceable written agreement. And if you followed my system, you're going to have the key terms in it so that you know it's enforceable. It's not ambiguous. It's clear on money, dates, who has to do what, and when and where and what law applies. And if you have those things in it, you have a contract. Is it the best contract? No, but it's better than not having anyone and just doing a handshake deal. Because the problem with handshake deals is it sets you up where someone's going to get called a liar at some point because you're relying on memory. You don't want to rely on memory, because we're doing business with people that know, like, and trust us, right? Yep. And so if you're going to operate in that fashion, then you need to be a person of your word, put it in writing, and then stick to it. And so someone should go, hey, I don't think that's what we said. Let's look at the document. You look at the document and go, oh, no, you're right. It's right there. And no one gets called a liar. Everyone's on the same page again. And then you either move forward with the document, or maybe you make a change to the document because it's not working. But at least you could go back and everyone get on the same page. And without a page, you can't do that.
Right. And this ties into the questions that you should ask to eliminate the signer's remorse, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, I think a lot of people get intimidated by that when they see, especially these days, it's like nuts. You look at the size of leases and insurance contracts, and it's like, what is in here that's going to come back and bite me?
Yeah, and even if you do read it, you may not understand it, because they're using legal mumbo jumbo that you don't know, you weren't taught. And so if you don't know what it means, if certain words mean a very specific thing, unless you're using a law dictionary as you're reading this contract, the chances of you understanding every part of it are slim. So you just, in today's world, I don't know how you operate a business without having someone help you navigate that stuff.
Can you share a little bit more about partnerships? Because that's a question that comes up over and over too. So, you have a specific skill set and capability. You are looking for another complementary skill set and capability. You guys or gals decided, 1 + 1 = 11. We're going to do this. Can you speak to that and the importance of a buy-sell agreement And just some thoughts on that, because that's another thing that a lot of folks don't think about. It's almost, you know, I always say that you should probably have your divorce documented even before the wedding occurs, right?
Exactly. I was having the conversation yesterday with a client here in my conference room. The best way to do that is for each of you to already have your own company. So each of you, let's say, have LLCs that are, you've been doing whatever you're doing well. And now you've decided, like you said, that if we come together, it's exponential what we can do together. But I've got these assets that I could contribute. You have these assets. So let's form what I would call a joint venture LLC together. And we'll say that it can use your assets. It can use my assets. But if we get into this 6 months from now and we don't like it because we were wrong, or we just don't like each other anymore, then we can part ways, and everything that I had, I get to take with me. Everything you had, you get to take with me. Everything that's new that we built together, then we have a plan in our operating agreement how we will split that. We're going to sell it and split the proceeds, or we can just agree to who takes those assets. But at least what you came in with, you can leave with. And so it's basically a premarital agreement. But yeah, there's a ton of a joint venture stuff going on right now. Again, with handshake deals, you got to be careful. It's worth forming an LLC. Here's the, because of that limited liability reason. So you're putting a wall between the joint venture idea you have with your friend and your company, and then you personally. And so you have two walls there. Like I said, it's a minimal cost to set up that new LLC to protect you from liability. And if you set it up right, like you said, you've kind of pre-planned the divorce. No one wants there to be a divorce, but if we've already made a way for it in a business transaction, it makes everything much smoother. It takes away some of the nerves of going in that, yeah, I think I trust you. I think this is going to be a good deal, but I've worked hard to get where I am here. Well, this way you're not giving up anything. I guess it's probably better than a win-win, but it's an ability to try something new without risking what you have. And so you just have to document it right. A lot of people would do the opposite of that. They would just form a new company, pour their assets into it, and then they just go. And hey, I'm sure it works sometimes, but I see too many of them that don't work. Partnerships are tough. I mean, we have a divorce rate of upwards of 50% in America. If marriages can't work, and you're doing those in front of God and your friends, how do you make a business partnership work when it's just about money, right? It's hard. And so you need to put those protections in place. You should each have a lawyer that's representing you and putting that in place, and have a good documentation system that you can rely on, go back to again to say, hey, this is what we agreed to. If you do all that up front, you could have a good chance at success. And if not, you have an exit strategy. And you mentioned the buy sell. Everyone should have a buy sell if you have multiple owners. Some of the certain things in life are, you're either going to become disabled or you're going to die. You need to have, what happens if one of us becomes disabled? What happens if one of us dies? How do we get rid of the other person's family? Because we didn't want to be in business with them. And then you work with financial people, and how do we fund the buy-sell agreement so that the other person can get bought out? Well, what if we need rid of them because they've turned bad? They suddenly became a criminal. You have to have those things set out, and that is complicated. The other stuff we talked about is easy. A buy-sell is complicated, but it's really important. As soon as you know you've got something that's going to work, you know, you set up the joint venture we talked about, you get 6 months to a year in and it's working, get into a buy-sell agreement fast so that there's protection for your family and that you're protected as the other partner, that you're not stuck in business with someone that wasn't your goal.
Yeah. In one of my companies, we actually do a lot of those. And so we get an insight of, besides of how complicated it can be, that the lack of it, let's just put it that way, that they don't have it. They're partners and they're like, well, we kind of have to figure out how to protect the business. I'm like, is there a buy-sell in place? No. And to your point, these things happen. This isn't stuff that people think about, but this is the reality of stuff that we see on a weekly and a monthly basis in that company, Producers Wealth, where you have entrepreneurs that started a business. They're crushing it now. And now all of a sudden they're starting, well, what should we have in place? Well, what if, like you said, if somebody passes or becomes disabled, the other person's family might have nothing to do with it, right? So, and how do you buy each other out? That's the other thing. what if the business, what if your revenue is $1 million or $5 million a year? Like the company is still growing and has huge potential. And now all of a sudden one of the partners pass away. How does the one partner, the surviving one, buy out the family of the other one, where most folks, when they're in growth mode, you know, they're throwing all the money back into their business, you know, keep feeding this rocket ship to keep going off. They don't necessarily have the liquidity at that stage to do this because they're keeping reinvesting in the business. So how do you do that? How do you set that up properly? So these are things to think about. Because this is the reality of the situation, right?
Yeah, the other thing that you need to really make sure in a partnership like that for sure is that you've got estate plans in place, that each of the partners has taken care of business and has a plan in place to what happens. So who would be in charge of dealing with them on the buyout, how their interest is supposed to go to their family. If you don't take care of that, you've only done half the job with the buy-sell agreement. And if you're a solo owner, that's even more important. You could cause your family a lot of trouble if you don't have an estate plan in place that says who's going to be in charge immediately of your business if you become disabled, and then if you die, and if you're relying on a will only to pass your things on to your family, they could get locked out of your business for a while. So you need to make sure you've worked with an estate lawyer that understands business and that you have a way to take care of that business after maybe the primary person dies. Otherwise, I mean, a business now that if you don't work in it for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, it could be gone. It could evaporate and be worthless. And so you want to make sure that that doesn't happen. And the way you do that is have a good solid business estate plan in place and with partners or buy-sell agreement.
Talk to me a little bit about the access plan that you offer, the coaching, and some of the success stories of some of the clients in the program. Again, this is a very important part. That's why I appreciate you coming on. A lot of folks don't think about these things. And in the world that we're going to live in, folks, if you're watching this or listening to us, this is important stuff. Legal, good access to legal help is going to be very important in the next couple of years.
The access plan is a bundle of legal services such as on-demand access by phone, email, text, contract reviews, custom contract creation. There's a legal coaching call every month with each client so that we can really get our hand on the pulse of their business, understand them and what's going on. Because the entrepreneur is our client. We want to make sure we understand their life and their business so we can help them and guide them. And then they have the ability, they have a portal where they can schedule meetings whenever they need them, 15, 30 hour. They have access to my schedule. They don't have to call to do that. And then they have access to the Access Online portal where there's video training The Art of Documenting the Deal, where they can get some business law education, because the smarter you are, the more educated you are as an entrepreneur on the law, the better questions you can ask, the more questions that will come to your mind because in a deal, so that you make sure and get them to the right professional. So become more educated. And so we give them that through the portal. And you can be an access member for as little as $5.99 a month. There's three levels. So it depends on where your business is and what's right for you. We also create up to 4 LLCs at the base level per year for an access member. So if you're very entrepreneurial and want to be able to move quickly, being an access member allows you to set up that LLC within less than a week's time, start that new business venture, and know that you're protected at home from this venture that may or may not go well, right? If you make a mistake and use someone else's brand, for instance, those things won't come back at home because you've used an LLC right off the bat and you've got yourself protected. And then, we're with those clients all the time. I mentioned earlier the thing that we work with the Ziegler Corporation. They're one of our early access clients. And Tom Ziegler wrote the book Choose to Win 2 years ago. It was his first book separately from his dad. And he didn't want to build an online course. Now, when we write our books, you don't just want the book. You also want to figure out how can we use that information in the book to create more revenue. And so we wanted to create that second level of it. And so he was going to do kind of a certification, become a Choose to Win coach. And I was able to help him during a half hour phone call, change the way he was doing that, restructure it into an ongoing program that created recurring revenue for him way into the future instead of just kind of a one-off deal. He just wouldn't have thought about it because he was kind of a certain mindset because of how they'd done things for years. But because he was on a call with me, asking me questions, telling me what he was thinking, I was able to see a better path. One, because I have a different perspective. I'm not in the business with him. Another is because I'm constantly talking to other entrepreneurs online and offline. So I know kind of what other people are doing. So I know what the landscape is from a different perspective. And so I can help guide them to make better decisions that protect them and also help grow their money. So it's not just legal advice. You also get business strategy in those calls because I just have that experience and the ability. We also have helped Sean Garner, a fitness entrepreneur. He has an online coaching program. We've also been in Men's Fitness magazine, a very high profile guy. He was about to sign a contract 3 years ago. He had just gotten into Access. I mean, like the week before, was about to sign this contract and thought, wait, I need to have Scott's team review it. He sent it in and when we got done, if he had signed that contract, it would have cost him $20,000 that he wasn't aware of. And by showing him, we redlined this contract. So here's the trouble parts. Here's our recommendation. He didn't sign the deal. It saved him $20,000. More than paid for his Access for the last 3 years. And so that's the kind of things that me and my team that we're able to do every day. It's a lot of fun being a part of all these businesses. I feel like I get to, I get to be part of it. It's part of my journey. I get to watch them succeed and hold their hands when things don't go well, because there's going to be ups and downs in business, but that's how Access works. Again, like you said earlier, we're primary care, not emergency room. That doesn't mean there aren't ever emergencies. And if there are, we jump in and help them. One of the things you get with Access is like, if someone makes a claim against you, then we jump on and help you negotiate it. We don't do litigation, but we'll try to get rid of it before it gets into litigation. And if you've got a problem, we can send out demand letters and try to resolve that issue for you. That's the kind of things we do.
Awesome. One habit I've observed from wealthy and successful folks is that they're always learning and studying. What are you currently studying and learning?
I'm reading The Hook right now. I just finished Russell Brunson's .com Secrets. I'm trying to get better online. And I know a lot of your listeners are as well. And I think those books are pretty incredible. It really opened my eyes to some things I wasn't doing correctly with some of my funnels. And so we're starting to change a lot of the things we're doing here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Big fan of Russell, previous guest on the show. And his books are great. .com Secrets, Expert Secrets, and also Traffic Secrets. So a lot of our listeners and viewers are familiar with his work. Yeah. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we find it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
The first principle that I've got two boys that are 19 and one's almost 23, is that life is choices and choices have consequences. And that if you'll remember that as you navigate through every choice you make is going to have a consequence. You may not see it. But it will have a consequence. And so you need to try to figure out if it's possible, can you know what the consequences are and evaluate those when you make that decision? And that's a life principle that I've taught them since they were pretty small. Another one is to be excellent for excellence sake. And they would always say, why do I have to be excellent at this, Dad? Why? Because if you're not excellent in everything, eventually you won't be excellent in anything. And so if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well, so do it right. That would be something really important that I'd like to see my great grandkids knowing and living. And then the third principle is always own a business. Jobs are okay; you can have jobs, but I've encouraged both of my boys to not have a job during college, but start a business, start multiple businesses, fail, make no money, it doesn't matter. Start a business. My oldest son, Jake, started a photography company in college. He has a full-time job now doing social media marketing, but his photography company, he and his wife are making more money with that than they make with his day job. So that's a sound principle. You need to have ways of making money that aren't tied to someone else's company. You need to have your own so you can control your own destiny. It's just in today's world, jobs, there's this false sense of security people have that I've got a job. You have no security. I have more security because I have my own company and my own ideas and can generate my own money. It's just you have to make that paradigm shift and understand you need to have your own ways of fishing for food, not wait for someone to feed you.
Absolutely. That's what we've been discussing here. And the solution right now for folks is independent income sources, whether it's from business or from investments. You need to have as many as you can, because if one gets taken down, well, then you've got several others to keep you going in this crazy environment. And a business is a great way to do it, because as you just mentioned, it's a skills and capabilities economy. It's no longer a job economy. And when a job gets taken away, it's gone. So now all of a sudden there's no income. And unfortunately, there's a lot of folks now in that boat. Exactly. Where one income stream was taken away and now they've got their backs up against the wall. Had they had several other income streams, they had options, right?
Yeah. And another thing, mindset's really important. About a year ago, my oldest son had a good job, he thought, and went in one day for a meeting, came out, they'd laid all the sales department off. I thought he was going to be really upset. He was 4 months married. Yeah, I would have been upset. And I got on the phone with him and he's like, "Dad, it's fine. You taught me how to fish. I'll make my own money. I'll be fine." So just having the skill of being able to start businesses or make investments that create cash flow is, like you said, that's the most valuable thing in the economic world right now.
Absolutely. Certainty in an uncertain world. Yep. Fantastic. Scott, where can folks learn more about you? Where can they follow you? Where can they stay informed of all of your projects and can reach out and also get more information on your access plan?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at @thescottreeb. That's a great place to follow me and get good quick bits of information. And then we've created a special page just for these listeners. If you'll go to my website, www.reeblaw.com/cashflowninja, you can download my new book, Make Legal Simple, 7 Strategies to Shadowproof Your Business. And you can book a call with me. It's a 20-minute laser legal coaching call. It'll be with me, not with my other team members, for absolute free, just for listening to the show. We would love to help you and learn about your business.
Awesome. And that's, again, reeb.com/cashflowninja.
Reeblaw. reeblaw.com/cashflowninja.
Perfect. I'll put the link in the show notes and also below this video. Scott, this has been fantastic. This has been great to connect, my friend. Appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us and sharing your valuable insights for all of my listeners and my viewers out there.
Yeah, let's talk again soon. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And thank you to you, the listeners, for spending your most valuable resource, your time with us. Again, check out everything Cashflow Ninja at cashflowninja.com and grab a copy of my book as well, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches at cashflowninja.com/21niches. That's the numbers, 21 niches. Live infinitely. Bye. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.